that. Let's go to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians. Like I said this morning, coupling our new theme of walking in Him, I'm starting a new study through the book of Colossians. I miss already my study in the book of James. I at home I got this bookshelf. What I do is I go through my library, I pull it together, all my books, and I put a little special bookshelf right beside my desk, and that's where all my James stuff was. So I still haven't put it away yet. I'm coming to reality about this thing that study's over. And I'm starting to put my Colossians stuff in that same shelf, amen? But what a blessing to study the Word of God and how rich it is. And so I hope that you have been blessed by the things that you have heard through the last studies we've done. And I think this is going to be just as a blessing as the last one as we go through this. Everyone kind of has their own flavor about them. And, of course, this study in the book of Colossians is very Christ-centered. This book is written to really exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know by even the passages that we find in there, it says that He might have the preeminence. It says in verse 18 of chapter 1, and He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. And like I said this morning, the most used word or most common word in this book is the word Christ. It's not even the word Jesus, but the word Christ, which means anointed. Amen. And so Jesus means salvation, and that's the receiving aspect of it. But the Lord is saying, let's not just receive Him, let's walk in Him. And so we have to take seriously this other aspect of Christ, and that He is the anointed Messiah. He is not only just someone that came to save us, and so let's walk in Him. And so that's really the thrust of this book, and we're going to be going through many different topics in relation to that. But I'd like to go to Colossians chapter 1, and this morning I started a message I wasn't planning on, like I never do, continuing on the message tonight, but I didn't get it. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. You say, can you get a message out of that? Absolutely. Yeah. There is a lot of truth right there. The first thing is I could preach a whole message on Paul being an apostle. Amen. But that's not what we're talking about tonight. But we are talking about the fact that of all the things that Paul could open up his letter with, he says, you know what? I'm an apostle. You know why I am one? Because it's God's will.
Yeah.
It's God's will for my life. And I think that what we've got to do today as Christians, we've got to get away from this mentality that we're the ones in control of our own life and that we're independent. We like that word, you know. We're never independent. You're either following one side or the other, folks. We're dependent upon something, and we've got to become dependent upon the Lord. Amen? He is the one that we've got to depend upon. And for that to happen, we need to take seriously this concept of the will of God for our lives. And I want to talk about that a little bit more tonight. This morning I brought up 2 points. I talked about the pleasure of knowing and doing God's will, looking at the prayer that Jesus Christ gave the disciples to pattern their prayer after, and how He said, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Prayer isn't something that anybody here, you just pray because you don't want to. When you are praying to God, you're praying for things that you want, that you desire. Anytime somebody prays, it's because they desire something. You're not going to be praying something you don't care about. You're praying things that you truly care about. Amen? And He's saying, this is something, disciples, I want you to care about. I want you to care that there's a will that has been predetermined in heaven, and God wants that will to be fleshed out through you on this earth. And that should be a desire in our hearts. That's why the Apostle Paul prayed so often for the will of God to be known by the people of God. Amen? He wanted that to take place. Second thing we looked at is the pressure in knowing and doing the will of God for your life. The pressure is the devil, the world, and your flesh. And all three of these have a very big part of messing you up, of putting an obstacle in your way, and many people are now out of the will of God because of these three enemies right here. The devil wants to stop you. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The world, of course, I always say, is the platform of Satan. The Bible says he's the prince of the power of the air, and that the people here walk according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And so this world is really a platform for Satan to work out his plan in people's lives. We gave dominion over in the garden, folks. We let him have the rule. We let him take this world from us. And you know what the Lord wants to do? He's going to take it back. But you know where he's starting? He's starting in your heart. Amen? He didn't start in the government. He didn't start in the parliament building. He's not saying, let's win the government leaders, then we'll be okay. In fact, he says, I pray not for this world. He says, there's no reforming this thing. This thing is corrupt. This thing is broken. But what we need to do is have Christ in our hearts, let him rule in our hearts, and then one day he's going to come again, set up his kingdom, and then, my friend, we are going to have a righteous ruler that is going to rule this world. Amen? But until then, I'm sorry, this world is going to be corrupt. That's all there's to it. But don't let the corruptness of this world keep you from doing what God wants you to do. Amen? And then we have the flesh as well. That's, I always say, it's the ally of Satan inside of you. I mean, the closest ally he's got is right inside of your life. Amen. So you got to be careful. Don't submit to that. Don't let your flesh rule your life. You've got to crucify that thing. You've got to put that to death and submit to God in your life. Submit to the Scriptures. Submit to God's plan for your life, because your flesh will fight you every step of the way, because there is no good thing in your flesh. It doesn't want to do right. Amen. It doesn't want to follow God. It doesn't want to pray. It doesn't want to read the Bible. It doesn't want to go to church. You know that thing in you when you say, well, I don't feel like going to church this morning. You know what that is? That's the flesh. Don't let them win. Don't let them win. That's where you just got to say, I'm not going to let you rule my life. The Spirit is going to run my life. He is the master. Amen. Not my flesh, not my body. And then we're going to move on to our third point. And I'm going to talk about tonight the process of knowing and doing the will of God. If we'll go to Colossians chapter 1, verse number 9, it says, and this is the Apostle Paul talking, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. The Apostle Paul has never met these individuals he's writing to. He did not plant that church. That happened as a product of his ministry, but yet he himself didn't plant the church. The church at Colossae was a home where they were meeting in someone's home, in the home of Philemon. And in fact, if you go to the book of Philemon is Paul in prison with the same fellows that you look here in the book of Colossians, writing to Philemon about that church in Colossae. Amen. And so they really work hand in hand here. So you want to read both of them as you get familiar with this book here. And so the first thing I want you to see here, he didn't know these people. But you know what his desire was for these people? His desire was for them to be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. Yeah. Amen. I wonder how much we care about the people in the next city that we've never met. You know, it's one thing to care about your own church and desire everybody here to be in the will of God. Do we desire that? Amen. Well, if we desire that, do we desire that the people in the next city also find the will of God for their life, and we're praying for that? Folks, the Apostle Paul did. It was more than just a religious ritual he's going through here. He had a heart desire that these people knew the will of God. Notice what he says. Since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. You cannot separate those two. Prayer and desire have to go together. You got no desire, there'll be no prayer. You don't care about people, you're not going to pray for them. Amen. You got to start with a desire for the good of these people. You got to start right here in this church. Look at the person sitting next to you. You in your heart, you have to stir up a desire that they do the right thing for their life. Then we're going to get away from these mentalities that, oh, well, you know, that's their business. You know, what's that to me? To each his own. There is no to each his own in the Bible. Amen. that there's all of us lifting and carrying each other's burden. We have to be concerned when we see a brother in sin. We have to be concerned when there's a lost person. We have to be concerned about that. And if we don't, there's a problem with desire in your heart. And the Bible says that a man through desire, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. So we see that desire is really the starting point. No desire, there's nothing that follows. No separation, there's no caring about others. There's no wisdom. We need to have desire. Amen? Do we desire the things of God in our life? The Apostle Paul did. To desire is to request or beg the seeking by the inferior from the superior. Like a beggar from the giver. Amen? He was like a beggar standing before the giver who was God. And he's saying, God, I can't do anything about this. But Lord, we need you. We need you to help these people. We need you to help us. I mean, the Apostle Paul's in prison here. He's in the prison of Rome, and yet his desire is to pray for these people in Colossae. Yeah. My goodness, what an attitude. Amen? I tell you, that's a man that's walking with Christ. Really is. Why do we want to know God's will? Do we really want it? I find many times in my life, I've looked at it and I thought, you know, the will of God sounds like a good thing, but I really don't know if I want to know it. Amen. I remember when I first started, especially when God started to work in my heart about preaching. Lord, let's just put on the brakes a little bit here. I don't know if I want to know everything that you know about me. Amen. How many of you would be where you are at today if you knew everything you had to go through? Amen. Not at all. Not at all. Dr. William L. Pettingill, a well-known Bible teacher, author of many books, he said, most people don't want to know the will of God in order to do it. They want to know it in order to consider it. Amen? And that's exactly the thing. We don't want to know it to do it. Look at Jesus Christ in the Psalms. He said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. I delight to do thy will. The Apostle Peter, when he was inside the boat and Jesus was walking on the water, he says, Lord, if you bid me to come, I'll come. Boy, what an attitude. To have an attitude before the command to say, if you give the command, I'll obey it. It isn't like, Lord, you tell me the command and then I'll think about it. No, folks, the surrender has already been made. Now, I understand. We all got our place in life. We've all got the things that we do. We've all got our careers. We all got different things that the Lord perhaps has led us into doing. Some of us are builders. Some of us are destroyed. No, some of us are builders. So you got to destroy to build, right, Ed? Amen. And so some of us are builders. Amen. Some of us are chefs. Some of us are whatever. We cook. Some of us are doctors. Some of us are this, that, or the other. I'm not saying those things are wrong. But what I'm saying is this, no matter what it is that you've been led in to do, there should always be a blank piece of paper with your signature on the bottom that you've given to God.
Yeah.
I'm not saying go hide yourself in a ditch somewhere and wait for God to hit you with lightning. I'm not saying quit everything you're doing and just wait for God to make things clear. I'm saying, hey, live your life, but make sure in your heart that you're already surrendered to whatever it is that God will put on your heart to do. And let Him lead you. Amen?
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. It's a pretty difficult thing for me to hand you a check with my signature on the bottom without filling in the amount.
Yeah.
Especially with David. Amen? Oh, I'm just kidding, brother.
I
know you wouldn't. You put zero on there. You know, the thing is, with God, that's exactly what we need to do.
Yeah, praise God.
You need to put your signature on the bottom of that thing. And so, Lord, you put in that amount.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't be afraid of God bringing you somewhere you don't want to go. The only reason you don't want to go there is because you're still walking in the flesh. But I'll tell you something. If you were to walk according to the way that God wants you to, you want to.
Yeah.
You will want to do what God's asked you to do. Amen? Only the flesh is making us afraid. We're afraid of what the flesh will be lacking in this process. Amen. But I'll tell you something. This is from my personal experience. And folks, hey, I am no professional preacher. I'm not someone that grew up honed and prepared by the great preachers of the age. And I was a construction worker. My dad was a construction worker. We had a construction company. My brother was a construction worker. And we did that for all of our lives since I was a young boy, all the way to the time that God called me. All I did was give him a piece of paper and I wrote my name on the bottom. This isn't about you being something spectacular. In fact, I was less than spectacular, and I was probably the one that was voted least likely to succeed. But you know something? It doesn't matter with God, because if He's got a blank piece of paper, He will do something with your life.
Yeah, amen. Praise God.
It's not about your talent. It's not about your IQ. It's not about how great you are. It's about whether you're willing to be faithful. Oh, the one thing that God chose for us is the one thing all of us can do. No matter how smart we are, no matter how talented we are, every one of us can be a faithful man or a faithful woman. Amen?
Yes, sir.
And it's required in a steward that a man be found faithful.
Yes.
We can all be faithful. And I'm just convinced if anybody will say, I will be faithful in what God's asked me to do today, He will have a door open for tomorrow and a door open after that and continuing to open doors for you till Jesus Christ comes again. Amen?
Amen.
That's what I believe with all my heart. He's done that with me. Folks, I've never known everything God wanted for my life. Even to this day. I never knew I'd end up here. You know, when I did something, I just said, Lord, I'm going to do this until you come again. And then he started writing on that page again. He says, okay, now do this. All right, I'll do that now. Well, how long are you going to do that, preacher? Well, just till Jesus comes.
Amen.
And then I was doing that, then all of a sudden he'd start writing on that page again. And then I'd say, how long am I going to do this? Well, till Jesus comes. You say, preacher, how long are you going to stay in Airdrie? I got no plans. I'm not a 2-year preacher. I'm not a 3-year preacher. I'm not one of these guys that just say I'm going to hop in and hop out when it's convenient for me. Folks, when I come here, I've given my life to this.
Yeah.
I've given you every part of who I am. You can ask my family. I've got no desire to go anywhere else. I'm going to be here till Jesus Christ comes unless He writes on that page again.
Yeah. Amen.
Let Him do it. In a way, I don't want Him to. In a way, I do. Maybe He'll say, I've got greater things for you through Airdrie Baptist Church.
Yeah.
Amen. There are so many cities around, even around this area, that don't have a church like this.
Yeah.
We could be reaching out to Brooks. We could be helping a church plant in Lethbridge. There's churches now that have no pastor in cities around us. There's so much to do. Amen. Let's just let the Lord fill in that piece of paper. I think there's one for the whole church. I think we've got to have that as a local church and say, Lord, this is our piece of paper to you. Let this church be something that you can just choose what you want to do with. Amen? And I'm not saying stop and wait until He writes something. I'm saying generally do what He's asked us to do, but let Him fill in the blanks. Amen? And He will do that for us. It's a desire. Second thing is, the will of God is based upon being filled with knowledge. That's what he says here. I pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will.
Yeah.
This is interesting because I've always known that the will of God exists in two different facets. There's a general will and then there's a specific will. There's a general thing that the Lord asks of you and says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The Bible says to abstain from fornication, for this is the will of God for you. Amen. Generally, from the Scripture, we can pull many things out of this book as to what God tells us to do or not to do. And it's pretty well laid out in Scripture. You don't even have to argue about it. Amen. That's called the general will. Each one of us can do that. Each one of us can be faithful in mining those things out. Now, if you don't care about that part of the will of God, if you don't care about following the will of God in the Scripture, you can't expect that He's going to tap you on the shoulder and give you something specific.
Yeah.
Amen? And that's what this passage is saying here. Listen to this. That you desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom. That's the first step. Wisdom is practical application of knowledge. Wisdom is taking the knowledge of the Bible and putting that into your daily life, into your actions. Amen? Amen. That's just simply obeying the Bible. That's just simply doing what the Bible has asked you to do. But then he goes on to say something else. He says, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know, I've been a teacher in college, and I've taught lots of people in doctrines class and so forth. And there's always a couple of people. They got the doctrine nailed down, but they are so off in their spirit. I remember this one guy. I mean, the guy was smart. He loved the Bible, but man, his spirit was off. I just thought, there's something missing here. You're missing the spirit of the New Testament. I think that's what's going along, going on with a lot of people that even call themselves preachers today. They think I'm doing the will of God simply by giving out the truth. Folks, there's more to the truth than just the truth. There's a spiritual understanding of the truth. And I think that's what we've got to start understanding today in the age which we live. This isn't about just me whipping you into shape. There's something going on here in the relationship I have with Christ and the relationship that I have with people that requires something more than just me beating you into submission. And I'm not like that. You know what? I'm looking at my life, and I've heard other preachers say it. I remember when I was young, they'd say, I'm on the other half of the gas tank now. That means I'm running on the end of my ministry experience here. And I know I could have 20, 30, 40, 50, whatever he wants. But you know what? To me, it's dawned on me that I don't have time to waste with foolishness. I don't have time to waste doing stuff that isn't scriptural. And I'm surely not going to waste my time with a bad spirit. When I came to this city, I said to God, I said, you give me one person in the pew, I'll preach like I'm preaching to thousands. This is not about big crowds. This is not about having big things take place. Even David, the Bible says he exercised not himself in great matters. Yeah. Too many people just want a big thing to take place. It's not about the big thing. Yeah. It's about the spirit that you have. It's about the relationships you have. It's about caring about God. It's about caring about people. Amen. I think the first thing we need, if we're going to be filled with the knowledge of God, we need to first be empty.
Yeah. Amen.
This is the biggest problem. We never get to the fact of knowing the will of God, even generally, because we're so full of everything else. He says that you may be filled with the knowledge. Filled means make full. It's talking about filling a vessel or a hollow place. Amen? Have you ever tried filling a cup full of water that was already full? How much of that water got into the cup? Amen. Well, absolutely none of it. It was all wasted. And in order for God's knowledge to become useful to you, you've got to come to Him with an empty cup. Amen. And like I said, we're not talking about just ditching everything. I heard of one guy, he was going to live by faith. He quit his job. He went and sold everything he had. When lived in a tent, and he's just going to wait for God. Folks, that's not smart. Amen. That's not smart. But I'll tell you something. You could have $1 million in the bank and you could still be empty.
Yeah.
This is not about making yourself poor so you can be empty. This is about emptying yourself of the love of this world and the love of your flesh and the love of things that are grabbing your attention away from God. Saying, Lord, all these things that I have, I put into your hands. You tell me what I need to do. Luke 14, when Jesus was explaining to the disciples about forsaking all. He says, forsake all. If you don't forsake all, you can't be my disciple. What does it mean to forsake all? Does it mean to sell everything I have and go live in the ditch? No. It means instead of holding on to something like this, I hold on to it like this.
Yeah.
That's exactly what forsaking all means. Some of us, we got our grip so firmly on the things around us that God will never be able to put anything else in our hand. Amen. Because every once in a while, He needs to take out what we have in our hand and take it out and put something else in there so that we can do something for Him. That's what forsaking all. You can't be a disciple if you're not willing to forsake all. The Bible's very clear on that. We need to be empty. Our lives are too full. How can we be ready to do God's will when we already have our lives planned out to the T? I like this with young people. They think, this is what I'm going to do after graduation. This is where I'm going to go. I'm going to travel the world. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I just say, why don't you put on the brakes there?
Yep.
And why don't you get on your knees and just talk to God about that?
Amen.
And maybe He'll let you go for a trip around the world. But don't you do it unless you talk to God about it. Don't you do it unless you know that God has got you there. And folks, what are you going to do if you can't go to church on Sunday because you're out in the wherever? Don't violate the principles of God because of your desires.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. We must be filled with God's knowledge. It expresses a more thorough participation in the acquiring of knowledge on the part of the learner. A knowledge laying claim to personal involvement. That's the definition of that word knowledge here. It's not just something that, oh, I'm just going to get by osmosis. This is something I am grabbing onto. I am giving myself to it. Anybody that's going and getting themselves a career in one thing or another, and they're spending money and tuition and books and so forth, and they know the sacrifice of it, when they sit down in that class, you can be sure they're not sitting there with his eyes closed, sitting back like this.
Yeah.
They know the cost.
Yeah.
The knowledge they're getting is based on a personal involvement. And that's exactly what God wants for you about the will of God. He wants you personally involved in seeking for the knowledge of His will. Don't just wait for Sunday morning for the preacher to mention something. Oh, maybe I should do that. You know, hey, if this is all you get, it's not enough. It's not enough. This week you got to spend time in becoming personally involved in seeking for the knowledge of God's will.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I'm not saying don't come to church. I'll help you with that. I'm going to motivate you. I'm going to inspire you. I'm going to give you principles. But folks, if you don't have it in you to seek any other time than this time right now, you're too full.
Yeah. Amen.
You're too full. I think many times, I believe infatuation, and I love prophecy. Anybody that knows me, I've written a 100-page syllabus on prophetic events, and I'm still building on that. And I'll keep building on that till Jesus comes. But you know, the thing is, I think a lot of people are infatuated with prophecy because it focuses on something in the future, not underneath their feet. Any time that I taught the doctrine of eschatology in Bible college, I would start like this. I'd say, if all we're doing is learning about stuff for the future, so you can say, oh, wow. That's great, or that's crazy, or whoa, that's interesting. Then we're missing the point here.
Yeah, amen.
The things about the future are there to motivate you in the present.
Yes, sir.
And if they're not changing your present, then they're pretty well useless. Amen.
Amen.
There's a reason why I learn about the lake of fire, and there's nobody in the lake of fire today. There's people in hell, but not in the lake of fire. The first people that will go in the lake of fire will be the beast and the false prophet. And then, of course, Satan will be put in the bottomless pit that will be in the thousand-year reign. But right now, there's nobody there. But I teach about that, and I'll say these are the people that will be there. Why? It should motivate us to help people today to make a decision not to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen? Prophecy will always encourage your present walk with God. Amen? But what I'm finding today, there's a whole group of prophecy-minded people, and when you get into that group, they minimize the importance of the local church. Why is that? Because what does the local church have to do with my future 1,000 years from now? Folks, the local church isn't about next year. The local church is about today. The local church is about what you're doing today for God. Sure, the rapture is going to take place, and I'm looking forward to that. Amen. But that's going to take place there. We got a lot of work to do before that day.
Yeah.
Amen. But it always gets me when people minimize the local church in their life. It's because they're too full of this world, too full of themselves, that they can't be filled with the knowledge of God's will for today. Wisdom, like I said, is a practical application of biblical truth. Colossians 3:16. This is a great time to bring out this particular truth. The book of Colossians and the book of Ephesians are looked at as sisters. These two books very much coincide with one another. In fact, the Apostle Paul wrote them while he was in that same prison to different churches. But it's interesting when you look at the connection between the two, because wisdom is this: let the word of Christ, in verse Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So practical wisdom, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So I'm emptying myself so that this can dwell in me. With all wisdom, practical application. Let this dwell in me with all practical application, is what he's saying there. Amen? Now, the next thing that Paul talks about is spiritual understanding. This is a deeper understanding of God's leading for your life. This is the specific will. If you go to Ephesians chapter 5, the sister book, notice what it says here. Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. He is talking about spiritual understanding here. He's talking about having a circumspect view of your life. Circumspected, we're talking about a circumference. Amen. So he's saying, walk circumspectly. Don't be tunnel vision. Think about everything that is around you. Think about everything that you're involved with. Think about everything that you are doing. Then he says, redeem the time. That means stop wasting time doing things that are taking away from what God has for your life. Yeah, amen. Then he goes on to say, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Notice what he says here. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Word, filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Word in all wisdom, filled with the Spirit with all spiritual understanding. See, today we have a Christendom out there that wants a spiritual experience. And they want someone to slap them on the head and pray over them so they can fall over, convulse, and have this spiritual experience. Folks, if they would take the first part of that, the aspect of being filled with the Word, they would not be seeking for that type of experience. See, what they're trying to do is bypass the first one and get to the second one. And many times believers are like that. Many times we think, this is exactly what God wants me to do, when we haven't even allowed the Word of Christ to dwell in us richly. And when the Apostle Paul prayed, he says that you would be filled with a knowledge of God's will in all wisdom, first. Secondly, and spiritual understanding. Amen. When you have given yourself to the Word of God and to living by principle, what will begin to happen is you'll begin to see your vision will expand in your life. And as you do that, the Holy Spirit of God is filling you. Because you've expanded the boundaries of control by submitting to Scripture. And what happens is the boundary of Scripture in your heart is the boundary that the Spirit can fill. Amen? He's not going to pour over the sides of that. He's going to hit those boundaries. That's where He stays. But within that, He'll begin to give you sincere and specific direction of what He wants for you to do. And He knows that you can handle it. Handle it. Why? Because He knows that you will not violate the principles of the first part. So many people say, this is what God wants me to do. At the same time, they're violating all the principles of Scripture. I've had people tell me, well, I'm going to go do this and this. And then I bring up principles. I say, yeah, but if you do that, you're going to be violating this. If you do that, you're going to be backing out on this. You won't be faithful in this. What about your children? What about your wife? What about all these different things? People want to move somewhere. They say, I can make more money there. I believe God wants me to move there. But there's no church there. Yeah. So you're saying you have spiritual understanding to go to another place, but you're violating the first part of letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, practical application.
Yeah.
Amen? I always tell people, don't go anywhere where you cannot bring your family to a church to be together with God's people. It's not just about me, the preacher. Folks, I'm just a part of the body. I may be preaching the Word of God here. I may be giving you some instruction. But it's not just about me. It's about others. It's about the people beside you. You need these people. Amen? So I don't even know some of these people. You know what? That should change. These are your brothers. These are your sisters. As much as you want to go out and be Lone Ranger, you cannot do it.
Yeah.
You need the church. We need to exhort one another. We need to provoke unto love and the good works. We need each other. Amen?
Amen.
Don't think for a second that here we have a great man of God that couldn't go 1 week without a local New Testament church and somehow I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I had one guy tell me one time, he says, yeah, I'm going to go over there. I know they don't got a church, but you know what? I told him, I was pastoring at the time, I said, you know what? If I would go 2 or 3 weeks without a church, I'd be backslidden. He looks at me, and you know what? That made an impact.
Yeah.
And he decided a different decision because I said, you know what? If a pastor can't stay right without a local New Testament church, then what in the world am I doing? Amen. The Apostle Paul wouldn't stay right without the church. Amen. You need it too. I need it too. And like I said, it's not because of the preacher. My goodness, if I could hide myself behind a cross up here and you didn't even know who I was, I'd be fine with that. But folks, I am your brother. Hey, man. I'm not looking to build a name for myself around here. I don't care if people know who I am. I don't care if they get the accolades. I want this church to be successful before God. I want this church to be strong and unified. And I want God to be able to do something before He calls me home. May God help us here to do something. Oh, that I can get out of the way. All of us, we can get out of the way. Oh, what Christ could do. Amen.
Amen.
Through all of us. Wisdom of God, spiritual understanding. Let's see what my time is here. There's some things within the prayer that Paul had here that I believe the Lord would like us to take note of. I want to talk about the perfection of knowing and doing the will of God. The perfection. In Colossians 4:12, I'm going to read you a prayer or a desire of Epaphras. Now, Epaphras was a man that was with Paul, helping him while he was in prison. Epaphras just happened to be someone that was from Colossae, and yet he was with him. So here he had Onesimus with him. He was a runaway slave or a servant from Philemon who was in Colossae. Here he had Epaphras, who was from Colossae. I mean, that's just coincidence. No, God was working in Paul's life to help this church in Colossae, amen, and to send this letter to them. And so Epaphras, what a great man. I got another message where I'll talk more about his characteristics. But it says, Epaphras, which is one of you, so there we have the instruction that, hey, he was one of you guys over there in Colossae, a servant of Christ, saluted you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Amen. So here you had a great prayer from Paul to people he didn't know. I want you to be the will of God. Now you have a great prayer from Epaphras to people that he did know, saying, I'm praying that they'd be in the will of God. Amen. Perfect and complete. That means to meet their goal, to finish their purpose, that which has reached its end, term or limit, complete, full, wanting in nothing, to fill a vessel or a hollow place. Amen. Oh, that they would know the will of God. Oh, that they would do the will of God for their life. That should consume us for the people around us. We look at our kids and say, Lord, oh, that they could do the will of God for their life. We're so busy trying to give them a career. They can make lots of money, man. Hey, that bank account will have no impact on the judgment seat of Christ. That bank account will have no impact. No impact on souls in this world. Amen. Amen. Oh, but our kids could be filled with the knowledge of the will of God for their life. And the Apostle Paul in verse number 10 of chapter 1, if we go back, it says, this is why he's praying. He's saying, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And I'm just going to give these to you very quickly as we close our message. Number one, we will walk worthy of the Lord when we're doing the will of God. Do you want that? Do you want to walk worthy of God? Worthy means suitably or properly. I mean, enough of this thing, I'm telling God what I'm going to do, and God, you know, look at me, I'm going to help you out here. This is about you help. You can't help God out. You can't do nothing for Him. Everything has been preordained for you to do. You just have to submit to His plan for your life. Walk with Him, not in front of Him. Walk with Him. Amen? In 2 Timothy 2:19, it says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Amen. Do we want to walk worthy of the Lord? Do we want to be prepared and meet for the master's use? Amen. The second thing is, every work we do for the Lord will produce fruit. You know, it's not about us just doing something. Lord, I want to do something that makes a difference. I want to do something that produces something. I want to do something that makes a difference in people's lives. I want to see people saved. I want to see people move forward. I want to see families strengthened. I want to see families reunited.
Yeah.
I want sin destroyed. I want families to be strong. Oh God, that the works that I do would have the fruit to go with them. And folks, if we're going to be that kind of workers, we have got to do the works that are preordained before the foundation of the earth. We see there in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Amen.
Amen.
Which He hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, that I would only do the works that would produce fruit. That's why we seek for the will of God. We're saying, Lord, I don't want to spend my time doing something. I mean, there's all kinds of things I like to do. I got all kinds of interests. I could waste my time doing all kinds of things. I could work here. I could do that and do that. But this isn't about me working. This is about the fruit. Amen?
Amen.
So I got to seek the will of God. The Bible is very clear about that. Romans chapter 12. It tells me, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. We got to test it. We got to prove it. So every work we do will produce fruit. Third thing, we'll receive inner strength. How many times we're crying about, Lord, I'm so tired, I'm so worn out, I don't know what to do anymore, I don't have any strength to do anything. Folks, seek the will of God. If you know the will of God and you're seeking the will of God, He will give you the strength to do the will of God. Amen? He will do it. So I don't know if I can do this anymore. If you don't think you can do this anymore, maybe it's something you shouldn't have been doing in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Now I'm not talking about being a good husband, a good wife, a good child. Well, I don't know if I love my husband. Hey, get in the will of God.
Amen.
You got to make a choice to do that. Oh, Lord, that I could be a husband to my wife and love her the way that You love the church.
Amen.
When you want the will of God for your life, that's when He'll give you the strength. Don't walk around belly aching. You don't have the strength to do what you need to do. All you need to do is submit to the will of God and He'll give you the strength to do it.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
Strengthen with all might. With all might. And the fourth thing is, we'll live in joy, in patience, in long-suffering. It says there in this passage, it says that you may walk worthy of the Lord at all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. What do people want today? Oh, just to be happy. How do you find your joy? Where are you going to find it? You're going to find it in that big paycheck. You're going to find it in that big promotion. You're going to find it in getting that person in your life. Oh, if that person will just be with me, then I'll be happy. No. If you can't find your joy with the will of God, you will never be happy.
Yeah,
you'll never be happy. But the Bible says we'll have joy. Seek the will of God. I can give you general things. I can give you general things about the will of God. I'll preach that every week from this pulpit. There'll be some things you'll listen, oh, I never knew that before, and all of a sudden you'll have to change some things. Because the Bible says, not because the preacher's got this riding this hobby horse, it's because the Bible said something to me. God spoke to me through the Word of God. It's very clear. It's principle. It's not reading between the lines. It said, thus saith the Lord, and I'm just going to do it because God wants me to do it. I'm going to do what God asked me to do, and I'm going to surrender that before He even shows it to me. And if you've got that kind of heart, I'm going to tell you something. God, His Spirit will fill you, and He'll begin speaking to your heart. And there'll be times you won't know why God wants you to go somewhere and pray for somebody. You won't know why He says, go visit that friend today. And it's on your heart. I need to go see this person. And you know what? God got a specific plan for you that day. That's spiritual understanding. Amen. But there's no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts. Oh, I really hurt for people that got their heels dug in on the truth. Because I know if you got your heels dug in, you've just drawn your line in the sand. You can't go any further. You've said, this is as much boundary as I'm giving you, God. And there's so many things outside of Christ surrounding that, that is not according to God's will. And He wants you to take all of that and put it into Christ and let Him change you in all these thoughts and philosophies and ideas and things that you want to do and ambitions and all these kind of things. It's all got to go in Him. Amen?
Yes, sir.
That's what it means to walk in Him. Therefore, as you have received Him. Well, how did you receive Him? Well, you say, preacher, I was a sinner. I was on my way to hell. I had nothing. If I would have died that moment, I would have been burning. I had nothing to offer God. My hands were empty. Oh, that we would go to God the same way when we walk in Him.
Yeah.
Oh, that we'd say, Lord, I can do nothing. The same way I came to you when I needed to get saved is the same thing I'm coming to you as I'm seeking your will for my life. I can do nothing. Any talent I think I have is nothing, God. Any breeding that I have, any background that I have, my family life, nothing matters. The Apostle Paul says, I count all things but dung, that I may win Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, that we'd get our hearts in tune. Let's bow our heads. Oh, I believe if we'd surrender ourselves to seeking God's will, all these battles we face, we wouldn't let them stop us. We'd keep pushing forward for God. Where are you? Have you received Christ? You can't walk in Him if you haven't received Him. Have you come to Him with empty hands as a sinner, saying, Lord, if I died today, I'd be in that pit. Oh, there's nothing good in me. There's nothing I can exchange for my soul, God. Jesus Christ died for me. He paid it all. Oh, if you need to be saved today, would you receive Him? Would you ask Him to come into your heart and say, Lord, I need You. I've got nothing. I'm not offering You religion. I'm not offering You anything I've done. I'm not offering You anything that's inside of me. I'm coming to You as an empty vessel, and I'm just saying, Lord, I've got nothing to offer You, but would You please have mercy on my soul? Have mercy on me and save me. I believe who You are. I believe You're the Son of God. I believe that You paid the price. I believe You defeated death. I believe You're alive. I believe You love me. Please forgive me. Oh, call to Christ today and get saved. Christian, that same heart, put that into your Christian life. Oh, Lord, I've got nothing. Oh, Lord, I need You. My family's depending upon me. How can I do anything for my family unless You fill me, Lord? Unless You make it real in my life. Unless You guide me in the steps that I take. Oh, Lord, help me to walk in.